He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekly review edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide money management firm. We are also fiduciaries, and there certainly is a lot to talk about from this past week. It was not a passive week. And neither are we passive investors. We believe in being a little bit active because the world changes. I mean, look at some of the things that have occurred here recently. You have an inversion of the yield curve. It's now upside down by the biggest gap since the year 2000, 22 years. What does that mean for the future of the economy? Are we in a recession now, and will the recession get deeper? We had oil drop under $90 per barrel. That's the first time that's happened since the invasion of Russia, of Ukraine. And where do we go with the energy markets from here? Are you going to have critical shortages in Europe this winter? They are scrambling, absolutely scrambling, to find the resources to get them through what could be a long, cold winter. We've had Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, two senators that were holding up things on Biden's Build Back Better miniature plan. It's much smaller than it was originally. What kind of impact will that have on the renewable energy sector of the market? We're seeing a lot of activity there. We continue to hear from companies. Earnings season is winding down. We're going to have some really good numbers for this year, next year, and even the year after that, because at the end of the day, it's all about earnings in the market. So welcome to the weekend review, the week-end review edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I'm the CEO of a nationwide virtual firm. We've been nationwide for the last, 20 years or so with radio show. Our radio show heard across many cities throughout America. I have a nationwide stock market newsletter that I write every week. And we went virtual way before the rest of the world went virtual, before the COVID-19 in 2020.
Went virtual under your own terms.
Yes, I didn't wait for me to be forced into a virtual model. But I just think in today's world of Amazon and, DoorDash and all the different things, why not have a virtual money management firm, which only makes sense? And that's what we do. I've been a money manager for the last 23 years. I've seen a lot. In my career, I saw the crash of the NASDAQ in the year 2000. That was 79% loss in the NASDAQ. I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there remember that. And then out of nowhere came the financial crisis of 08 and 09, which was a lot of bad loans out there that had to come home to roost, and they did. Almost collapsed our financial system. We saw the S&P go down 53%. But the markets are resilient. They've been around for a long time. And starting in 2009, with the S&P down around 660, yes, that's how low it got. Since then, we've almost seen 5,000 since that 660 level. But here's the key. I mean, the fuel, the renewable fuel that's been driving the markets higher, the S&P 500 in particular, have been growing earnings, okay, by companies continuing to innovate, by companies continuing to control their costs, by companies continuing to market and grab market share one from another, and the aggregate earnings of the S&P 500 have been growing since 2009. Other than that 2020 COVID year, which in accounting parlance, that would be a one-off. That would be an extraordinary event, okay? And we've gone right back to our winning ways in the earnings for the markets, S&P 500. We take all 500 of those companies and we boil it down to one number. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. And we graph that number, and you can see the graph in my newsletter every week, including now earnings are forward-looking. The market is forward-looking. What's critical now is what kind of earnings do we expect this year, 2022, next year, 2023, and the year after that, 2024. Well, Barry Kite is a chartered financial analyst here at our firm, and we've been watching and reporting on earnings every single day for the last week in particular. We're right in the heart of earnings season. It's about over now, probably about 75 to 80% in the books. Were there any key takeaways for you this past week, Barry?
Yeah, I think one key is you can't have any hiccups along the way, right? In terms of meeting expectations, we saw a couple of names we own who really turned in quality, in our opinion, kind of turned in quality earnings reports, and the market, at least at first, didn't seem to digest it very well. But it I think it kind of worked out in the end. I know AMD really came on strong yesterday as well, but I think the biggest thing of the week really is really in the bond market. Looking at the yield curve, how that how that's been related to everything else going on, whether it's recession talk or some of the bank earnings we got early in earnings season. But overall, I think we came in as very, very pessimistic in terms of earnings season, and it's. I know sometimes you might be a little too early for you when you give your grade, but it's. It seems to be a much more positive one, at least from a go forward basis, than we kind of expected.
Yes, absolutely, and I think a couple of key words that we heard a lot over the last several weeks: inflation. Everything from Portillo's hot dogs to Walmart, citing inflation being extraordinary. And even Europe, they raised their interest rates, saying that inflation is just out of control. We hope that the Fed can rein it in with their interest rates. We got a better-than-expected jobs report on Friday, and that's certainly not going to cool things off over at the Fed. They're going to continue to hike rates. They've pretty much brought a halt to the soaring housing prices. The lending has definitely cooled off a lot. But it seems like most of the companies out there, publicly traded companies, especially those in the S&P 500, are dealing with it. It's not, taking a big bite. We're seeing some margin erosion here and there. I saw Monster Energy complaining about the price of ingredients and the shipping cost and the freight cost.
And what ingredients do they put in there? That's what I want to know.
Caffeine and water and sugar.
Yes, right?
And a little food color.
Some B vitamins, maybe.
Anything to get you through the day. And we've seen, for the most part, I would say 75% of the companies have beat their earnings estimates. The multiple has definitely contracted here in 2022, which we'll talk about. I don't think we're going to see it contract much more from here. I mean, it's gone from 23 down to 17, which has made the market a lot more attractive from a valuation point of view. We've seen a revival in the NASDAQ here recently, which was in a 34% downtrend before it started to bottom out, and that technical analysis started to turn the corner and even head back up. And we're seeing that in a lot of individual stocks. AMD would be a good example of that. Google would be a good example. Apple's had a really good run here. So, you know, there's a lot. It's a mixed market. Energy is still playing a big role. We are under $90 a barrel. We are seeing gasoline prices going down. You've got a midterm election just 3 months out right now. So, in my opinion, it's not a time to be just a passive investor and riding through it. You know, you've got interest rates going up. That's going to continue to impact the bond market. Not a good place to be. And that high-end tech sector with the really high PEs is also a very dangerous place to be. So where are we invested, and what are we looking at these days? This is Bill Gunderson, and Barry Kite will be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's A Week in Review Best Stocks Now show, brought to you by Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide money management, fee-based only, no commissions here firm. And I manage several portfolios. I've been a professional money manager since the year 1998. So that has been a lot of fun, and I continue to enjoy it. I've seen a lot of different things in the market over the years. But the one thing that remains constant, earnings, okay? You know, everybody has a lot of different ways of looking at stocks, looking at indexes. You've got the deep value investors that look for companies that are trading at a discount to their intrinsic value. And then they're willing to sit on those stocks for years and wait for those intrinsic values to be realized. You've got the momentum investors, usually wearing the plaid sport coats and driving the red Ferraris, you know, and they're on your tail in the fast lane trying to get around you. They're in and out of stocks, momentum guys. I have found that over the years, earnings is the constant, okay? You know, the momentum guys are looking for huge earnings growth, and the value guys are looking for earnings that are cheap, okay? And I have found that I like companies that make sense from a valuation point of view and have a little bit of momentum also, because a lot of those value stocks are value traps. And they can sit there for years going sideways. Maybe they pay a nice dividend, the AT&Ts of the world or the, you know, the Verizons. They pay big dividend, but they have no growth. They're not growing anymore. I don't like that. I like growth in earnings, and I like those earnings to be at a reasonable price. We gave the example this week of AMD, which is just clobbering Intel. I mean, just eating their lunch. AMD is the hottest semiconductor company out there, along with NVIDIA. And yet AMD is still trading at what growth investors use quite a bit, which is the PEG ratio. That's where we take the forward PE of the stock and divide it by the growth rate. And in AMD's case, it's still less than one. It's still trading at a discount to its growth rate. And when they reported earnings on Wednesday, we analyzed it. We own it. That's one of the stocks we own in our premier growth portfolio, which is mostly made up of large cap stocks. And we said, hey, you know, this thing is trading at a discount to its growth rate still. And it's growing. It's a superior growth stock for its size. You know, that criteria of earnings, and more earnings, as long as earnings continue to grow at a company, you know, the multiple, the PE rate multiple remains reasonable, that will drive the stock higher more than anything else, okay? Oh, yes, being bought out or coming up with some new invention, but that doesn't happen very often. More often than not, it's that growth in earnings. Okay, now you take all 500 stocks in the S&P 500, and we get an aggregate number. Now, Barry, back in 2009, earnings bottomed out for the S&P 500 at about $55 per share, okay? $55 per share. So you put a multiple of 17, 18, somewhere in there, and, you know, you had an S&P back then that was worth about $800, $900, okay? Now, fast forward to today, 2022, we're expecting about $225 per share in earnings. Okay, now that's being updated daily as each of these companies report, but that's the consensus right now. So earnings have gone from $50 per share to $225 per share, and the market has followed right behind. So it would only seem logical that when we start to see those earnings top out and those expectations top out and start to grind their way and go over the falls kind of, all of a sudden you're seeing earnings expectations shrinking. In other words, an earnings recession, which we haven't seen for 12 years now. Then you got to really be on high alert. You don't want to be a passive investor then. You want to be an active investor. We do believe in a little bit of market timing and bond market timing for that matter.
And the multiples, what's been affected as interest rates go up. Earnings have maintained their trajectory really, and then of course it's to how much we pay, willing to pay for each dollar of earnings.
Changed. That NASDAQ went down 34% from November to about June of this year. Well, that's where the highest PE ratios were, and we got sidestepped a lot of those high PE ratios. About the middle, early last year, 2021, because we saw higher interest rates coming. And higher interest rates, the effect it has on individual stocks is it shrinks the multiple, the PE ratios. So if you're trading at a 200 PE ratio and your multiple goes down to 150, you just lost 30% of the value in your stock, and the stock goes down 30%. And that's what we've seen. The earnings have not moved hardly at all. It's been all multiple compression. Now, as we approach this earnings season, we were afraid that we would get the second, first we got the right hand to the jaw. We were afraid that we'd get the left hand to the jaw and in the shape of earnings. Companies saying, you know what, we're going to guide lower. But for the most part, that's been the exception as opposed to the rule. We've had most companies, 75%, have beat their earnings and have at least maintained their guidance going forward. We've had a few notable exceptions that have guided lower. But overall, as a whole, the S&P 500, I haven't seen hardly any movement at all in those earnings expectations. So this is now a fairly favorable environment for equities, okay? The P.E. multiple of the S&P has gone from 23 to 17. But I would say more than ever this is a stock picker's market. I wouldn't be buying ETFs that cover a big, broad range of stocks. You're getting a lot of junk in those ETFs. It's better to, instead of buy the semiconductor ETF, it's better to own the stars of that ETF, which are NVIDIA, AMD, KLA, Tencor, to name a few. And we still have, a few earnings left to go. And then as it relates to the bond market, that's a treacherous place to be, owning bond funds. You're seeing a big jump in interest rates to end the week, this past week, with the better-than-expected jobs report. That means that the Fed will not be our friends going forward. We're going to continue to see more rate hikes. So we like equities if you're in the right ones right now. We don't like bond funds at all. Individual bonds, okay, if you're going to hold them to maturity. Now, my newsletter, I'm working on it. It will be out tomorrow. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now Week in Review with Professional Money Manager Bill Gunderson and Chartered Financial Analyst Barry Kite. Well, the good news is, you know, the market, which was in a downtrend, big downtrend from November to about June, took 34% out of the NASDAQ, took about 22, 23% out of the S&P 500. The market started to bottom. It finally hit bottom about 8 weeks ago. Nobody rang a bell, but it did start to then go sideways and build a bottom. I'm a guy that looks at a lot of stock charts every day just so I have a good feel for what's moving, what's working, what's not working in the market, where the hot spots are, where the landmines are, try to avoid those. And I saw that the markets were bottoming and going sideways and starting to build that foundation to turn the corner and start to head up, which they did about 3 weeks ago. And I noted that in my newsletter. I've been writing my newsletter for 23 years. I put it out every single weekend. It's my own internal research because it forces me down all of the little nooks and crannies of the market and the back alleys, looking at everything from interest rates, how things are going in Europe, looking at the yield curve, looking at precious metals, looking at oil and gas, looking at earnings, looking at stock charts. And then I feel like once I've done that on Friday and Saturday morning, I'm ready for the next week when that opening bell opens and rings again on Monday. But I share my internal research with a lot of do-it-yourselfers that are out there that enjoy the markets, that like to manage their own money. I'm very transparent with, you know, showing what we own and what we're buying or selling. I have about 6 or 7 portfolios in the newsletter, a large cap growth, a dividend portfolio, which is made of dividend-paying stocks that are also growing their earnings. That's the second thing I like with the dividend-paying stocks. I have an ultra-growth portfolio. I have an emerging growth portfolio where we try to find really young, emerging companies with new technologies. And I have an ETF portfolio in the newsletter, and even a mutual fund portfolio. So there's something there for everybody. I do my macro call every week on where I'm at with my target price on the market, where I think the markets will be a year down the road. Yeah, and I back it up with the numbers, earnings estimates, and multiples. I show a lot of charts and my own technical analysis of all the major asset classes out there, from the Dow to the S&P 500 to the NASDAQ, even on down to Bitcoin and the bond market. So there's a lot there in the newsletter. I only send it out to our clients that I manage money for on a fee basis, and to our subscribers. We have a large base of people that follow us really all over the world, and definitely all over the country. We have clients in almost every state in America. I'm sure I have subscribers in just about every state in America. I have a live trading service. I've already sent out about 3 or 4 notices here this morning on stocks that we all currently own that are doing well today, or new stocks that I'm looking at. And when I make a buy or sell, I send out that live trading alert in all of the portfolios that I manage. And then for those that don't have the time, it's time consuming. I'm tied to my desk. I try to get up and do a little bit here and there just to mix things up a little bit. But for the most part, I'm pretty much tied to my desk looking at stock charts all day. on the constant lookout for new finds, new buys. I made several. I think I made four yesterday. We were pretty underinvested in the market. We kind of sat back and let the market settle. We used some inverse funds along the way to hedge our portfolios when the going was really, really tough. We wanted to protect. Then we got rid of those hedges several weeks ago, started to put money back to work in the market, and we continue to look for good buys in the market. Now, when people call us and say, you know, I've got a portfolio here at this firm, and they don't seem to be doing much. I never hear from them. You hear from me every week through my newsletter. You hear from me every day through my radio show. And then, of course, the live trading alerts and whatnot if you want those too. But when you call, you're going to talk to Barry, who's a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. And we have an appointment setter, Edie. She's in Scottsdale, Arizona. She sets the appointments. And Barry will take a look at what you're currently doing in the market. Your age, are you retired? Are you still working? Are you late in life? We talk to people all over the country from all walks of life. And our job as fiduciary. Well, what is our job as a fiduciary, Barry?
Yeah, as a fiduciary, kind of always kind of sounds silly to say out loud, but really it really just means we do what's in our client's best interest, right? Which is how it should be. I mean, that's I remember 10 years ago or so. You know, if you knew what a fiduciary was, you're probably a fiduciary. thankfully that term's gotten out there. There's a few financial ads that you see on the financial television shows that kind of explain what a fiduciary is. But in reality, it's really about doing the right thing for your client, and that's having the way you're set up is important. And so being fee-based, fee-only, advisory firm, kind of allows you, right, to, there's no reason for us to use, this investment over this investment, unless it's, unless it makes the most sense, because we don't get, you follow compensation, we're not incented to do, to do something else that's not, and that's not, in our client's best interest.
Yeah, I mean, there's no incentive for me to buy AMD over Intel.
right.
I get paid nothing. There's not even any commissions anymore. We're with Ameritrade, which will be Schwab at some point in time, as they've been bought out by Schwab. But, one of the reasons I got into this business 22 years ago, in my early days, my family owned our own business, and we had a profit-sharing plan, and I was all kind of wet behind the ears and green behind. And, I talked to some advisors, and now looking back on what they did to me, they did what was in their best interest. They put me in back then they were called real estate, not REITs. They were private real estate, okay, trust. And they paid dividends, and those guys made 10% commissions on what they put me into, and they were illiquid. It was the worst thing you could put a young guy into. They should have just bought me the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, but, they're trying to maximize their profits, and they did what was in their best interest. And I said, I'm going to learn this myself. That was many, many years ago. And since then, I invented my own app, the beststocksnowapp.com, which I use completely every single day. I go through my database of just over 6,000. I have my own ranking system. I also make it available to folks that are do-it-yourselfers and to our clients. You can go to GundersonCapital.com or beststocksnowapp.com. It's in the Google Play Store. It's in the Apple iTunes store, and then we have a web version. Man, I couldn't get along without it. It points me to the leading asset classes at any given point in time, stocks, bonds, gold, cryptocurrencies, inverse funds, whatever the case may be. It points me to the best sectors at any given point in time. Right now, it's the tech sector and the alternative energy sector with all of the money that's expected to be spent in renewables, mostly a lot of solar. The solar stocks have been doing really well here recently. Whether you like them or not, that's one of the hot areas of the market. The oil and gas sector has cooled off somewhat. Oil went below $90 per barrel this past week for the first time since the war in Ukraine. But I think a little bit of oil exposure still makes sense just because we're going to need it. I mean, there's a long bridge between where we're at now and trying to get to this renewable energy, green energy future. And that bridge has got a lot of oil that's needed along the way and natural gas. We especially like the natural gas stocks right now with the situation in Europe. Give us a call at 855-611-BESS, or better yet, just try out the newsletter this week. It only goes to clients and subscribers, but you can get 2 weeks. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. Well, it's been all about earnings this past week. We now have a very good look into 2022, the rest of this year, which only has five months left. And we'll have all of the earnings in for this year. A multiple on those earnings, that's where the market will trade. But the market is now looking ahead to next year and even the year after that. And I'll be addressing that in the macro outlook portion of my newsletter. I'll have fresh numbers for you along with a target price. Now, you hear all the different ones out there. Morgan Stanley has their target price. Goldman Sachs has theirs. J.P. Morgan, and on and on and on and on. I would say that the consensus target price right now is about $4,700, okay? And the NASDAQ, or the S&P is currently at around $4,200. So there's definitely still some upside there in the market. But, you know, there's a lot of sectors that depend on a very robust economy. And you can't really say that about the economy that we're in right now. In fact, we've just had two negative quarters of GDP, which is the technical term, no matter what Janet Yellen says, that is the technical terminology for a recession. And you have a big yield curve inversion. Barry, 35 basis points separate. The short bond is 305. And the long bond is about 2.7. Why is that? Why do we have this inversion right now?
Yeah, it's all, you know, all about expectations, right? So, you know, the fact is, that we're in a recession. Depending on how deep that recession ends up being, right? Well, the bond market is looking ahead into the future, and you know, frankly, they're they think interest rates tells you that they think interest rates are going to be lower, right, than they are in the future than they are now. And so when you have a, and that's one reason why an inverted yield curve is usually very, comes along with a recession is because of, you know, those expectations. It's like, depending on where you're at, current interest rate cycle, right, one of the ways that the Fed can, you know, help smooth out that cycle or pull, an economy out of recession is to lower interest rates, and they only control one part of the curve, and that's the front end of it. And so by lowering that front end, right, well, then long-term interest rates, right, you would expect to pay more in a normal environment. But in this instance, it tells you that a lot of bond folks think that interest rates will be lower in the future because of kind of where we're at, in terms of a growth or potential even a stagflation scenario.
Exactly. I mean, it's thinking that, a recession, which we are in now, could get worse. I mean, that's what the bond market is telling us. With this, the yield curve inversion is usually a predictor of a future recession. Now, we know we have an election in November, a midterm election, and all the stops we take trying to get the numbers up and looking good before that election. I think bringing oil prices down and the price we're paying at the gas pump, trying to get a little bit of reining in of inflation, keeping the market going, all of that's going to come into play between now and November. It's really, really a stock picker's market, which brings me to my last point. When somebody transfers an account, maybe they're just not happy where they're at, or maybe they've been trying to do it themselves and it's too time consuming or whatever. An account comes in, and then I see it every day. You know, I manage a lot of accounts, but I have them in about 6 or 7 categories. So when I make a change in my model, let's just say in the ultra growth portfolio, I sell everything out of all of the accounts at the same time. I do a block trade, and then I turn around and buy something to replace it. Now, when somebody transfers an account to me, I see all of these different securities that I don't own as I go through all my holdings every single day. And then I determine along the way, it's like gardening. I got to get rid of weeds. I got to get rid of the dead wood sometimes. Sometimes people are reluctant to sell things that they've held on to for a long time and haven't done much. And the prospects for them don't look good going forward, so I get rid of them. I clean things up. And then I start replacing those things that I sell with, along the way. I don't put everything in on day one like a lot of firms do. I find one here and one there and one there. And I'm very methodical about filling up your bucket of stocks. Whether it be dividend payers or growth stocks or ultra growth stocks. And pretty soon, you're invested in the market. And then I watch everything very vigilantly every single day. So anyways, if you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or the newsletter will be coming out hot off the press as soon as it's done, as soon as it's ready, as soon as I'm satisfied that I've gone down every nook and cranny of the market. And there was a lot this past week. There were a lot of earnings. There was the tension with Taiwan. There was Sinema and Manchin coming around. That has ramifications for the market. We had the jobs report. We continue to hear about inflation. We had oil drop under 90. The yield curve has got this big, big divergence right now. I'll be talking about all of that in this week's newsletter and boil it down to, so here's the action plan. Here's what we're doing. You can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We send it out via email. There's a lot in it, but you can just kind of focus in on the really important parts. You know, the stocks that we own, the macro call for the market right now, what we see going down the road.
The technical charts, that's one of my favorite areas each week.
Man, that tells me, 100 technical charts tells me more than 100 CEOs coming on the television and telling me about their company. Okay, the charts don't lie. All right, if you'd like to get in touch with us, 855-611-BEST, or begin with the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.